SRN Survival Radio Network.
Welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, right here on Survival Radio Network, where Snifkins blooms. How about that Facebook Live last week with Lachelle Mitchell from North Carolina Central University, where she gave you step-by-step how and why you need to have a women's football clinic? That was really fantastic. She really gave a step-by-step play, and it was great. It was really great. And that was a Facebook Live. That was free. So if you missed that, you can always go and scroll down and try to find the live Facebook Live. However, if you want the resources, you must subscribe to Growth Garden Webinar Series at bit.ly growgarden2017-18. And so I'm just going to elaborate on that some more, because our very first webinar will take place this Sunday at 9 o'clock, September 17th on Sunday. So we're finally here. We've been talking about this since June, and I'm really excited about it. And our first webinar will be Women Leading Football Programs. You don't want to miss these panelists. Tanya Walker, Athletic Director, Winston-Salem State University, home of the CIAA champs. Dr. Ingrid Wicker McCree, Athletic Director for North Carolina Central University, home of the MEAC champs. Then for Division III, we have Portia Hogue, Athletic Director for Allegheny College. Then we have folks who work directly with the teams and have huge impact is Sharon Lewis, Assistant AD, Football Recruiting and Alumni Relations at LSU, and Dominic Woods, Director of Football Operations at Mercer Football. You don't want to miss this. I'm just saying, you know. So the price for the whole year, and you can't buy it per webinar, okay, I'm so sorry, but it is, I believe, it's a great investment in your growth. So the price is $70. But you have two easy payments of $35 if you pay before September 15th. So go right now and make your purchase today too, so we can all grow together. The various topics, again, September 17th, we're talking about women leading football programs. In January, we're talking about negotiating from a position of personal power. In May, we're talking about burnout versus depression. And in July, we're talking about sponsorship and development. And so that I wouldn't get burned out, that's why I don't have one every month, okay? But you know me, when I find a bonus, something to be able to share, and the garden is growing all the time. Actually, we kind of grow like five people a week. And that being said, I just found the strength and conditioning coach for Bethune-Cookman. So I'm going to try to find her and get her within the webinar series. So there will be no more Facebook Lives. There will be no more freebies, okay? So you need to jump on in. And it's something like a master class, because, again, you get to network with everybody else too as well. So, again, go to BITLY Growth Garden, Grow Garden 2017-18. And if you didn't write that down, you can always go to the private Facebook page in the pin post and just click. So I'm really excited, and I just love the brain programming. You know, anybody who knows me, I love to plan a great learning session, and that's what we're doing here in the garden. And I like to promote others who do it on different platforms, and that's why I am continuing to promote Tamika Smith Jones' book, A Ball and a Dream. I'm just really impressed that someone in our group has put their life story in print, because it's very rare that women of color in athletic administration, unless you're a professional basketball player, to have your story in print. And there's so many young women who want to go into this business. And, you know, the pitfalls that you see as you're trying to get there, you know, Tamika is very, very transparent. She talks about that and how she pulled herself up. And I'm talking about from a student athlete. So, and how each one of those experiences built her up to be the fantastic Division I athletic director that she is today. So I am really encouraging each of you to get the book yourself. And if you find it to be one of encouragement, because it's filled with scripture, I'm telling you, that's the part I'm just, it's phenomenal. And get it for someone else, especially a student athlete that you can't seem to reach by talking to them. I've always found it be very helpful when I give somebody a book and then it becomes something that they own versus something that, oh, I'm just doing it because you told me to. You know, they embrace the message much better. And like I continue to say, hey, how about some teams getting the book for your team and have a read-in? You all can grow together, and I think it will have a huge impact. And I'm just really glad that someone in our tribe has stepped out and done that. And she's going to have a sequel. So, you know, you don't want to be behind when the second book comes out, so you might as well get this one now. So go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, and it's called A Ball and a Dream by Tamika Smith Jones. She is the athletic director, University of California, Riverside, one of two African-American female athletic directors on a Division I institution that is not an HBCU. So if anything else, we need to support that, okay? And I'm really excited about the fact that Tamika is taking the message of athletic administration, females leading athletic programs, to the marketplace. She will be one of the featured speakers of the 6th Annual Conference Expo by Black Business Women Rock. This is in California, Black Business Women Rock, in Torrance, California, November 17th and 18th. If you're on the West Coast and you want to support Tamika and you want to network with other women who are in business, and even if you're not in business and you have like administration, hey, these folks can become some type of supporters for your athletic program, especially those who continue to think that you can't raise money. Well, these folks want to be seen, and you got a place to be seen. So you need to find your way to the place, November 17th and 18th. For tickets, go to www.blackbusinesswomenrock.com. Again, blackbusinesswomenrock.com. And I'm, you know, it's really important to be able to think about the fact that what we do in athletic administration is transferable to anyone. And I think it's important to go out into the marketplace. And when she speaks, she doesn't just represent herself, she represents all of us. So we need to support her if you're on the West Coast and make your way. So that's she's on the stage on Saturday the 18th. So just make your way there. in Torrance, California at that time. Do you finally stop trying to control all situations? And if anyone has done the DIS assessment, those of us who are D's and I's, meaning dominance and influences, we think that we can move mountains by who we know, or we're just going to attack the mountain straight up, and then we'll let everybody know what happened. Well, as you live this life, you realize you really do not have all knowing and all doing and all control. There is another being that does have all seeing, all being. And when we stand in the faith in knowing that, which in this case, faith stands for finally allowing things to happen. And that calls for patience, which is something I do not have. I need to find some place to buy that. I'm telling you, it's really, really bad. But if this is a place where you are, and, you know, when you do stand in faith, there is such a peace. There really is. Because you really, when you have that peace, you go like, I really don't have to know what's going to happen. I just, all I need to know is who does know what's happening. And then whatever's going to happen, it would be so much better than what I could have planned or hoped for. So if this is where you are, and I hope we do have some folks in here that at that peaceful place, purchase this T-shirt and let your T-shirt minister to others without you opening your mouth. Get your T-shirt today at www.AundreaTHarris. That's Andrea T. Harris. AundreaTHarris.com. And we were just talking about Tamika and having her book. And before her book, she always had a core message, something that people could remember, and something she had to start from scratch with each time. So what is your core message? And ironically, I'm trying to get everybody to be speaking somewhere. And I'm actually stepping out of my comfort zone for a second. I mean, I have done, but shoot, these NCAA rules change so much. It's not a comfort zone for me. But I am going to be speaking on another podcast. And this one pertains to mothers raising teen daughters. Mothers raising teen daughters. And so I've been asked to speak about the mothers of young ladies who are athletes. And more importantly, those who want to go to college. And I, when I was in the conference office, I would take a compliance director with me from one of the institutions, and we would go to major events, football classics and basketball classics, and have a table so that we could educate parents on the eligibility center. And 'cause it's so painful when our community is not in the know and they rely on just their basketball coaches or their football coaches or their volleyball coaches. I don't know that you got to be in the know. You got to register your kid. And if you don't have a waiver for the SATs, then you're probably going to have to pay to make sure your child is registered with NCAA. So I know I'm speaking to the choir, but this is what I'm saying. If you're a compliance person, even if you're an athletic director, this is something you can serve the community and help your own self not to have these teary-eyed kids in your office complaining, nobody told me. So I'm stepping out here. I went out and print out the new bylaws because, you know, they change all the time. And I print out definitions. And so if I can do it, who has not been in the compliance field for some time, and, you know, I've been a full-time consultant since 2013, you can too because you do this every day. And it will cause no prep for you. So that being said, if you still need some little help, I would suggest Daniel Wright, A Right Relation. She can assist you in developing your core message. And we're working together to try to do maybe a webinar in October. But again, hello, you know, you need to join the Growth Garden webinar series to get this education. But this piece right here is free. If you just email her at info@rightrelations.com, that's info@right, WRIGHT-relations.com. And in the subject, put worksheet. In the subject line, put worksheet. And she will pass that on to you, okay? And I think that's a good start for you, okay? And it's important to develop a message so that you, whenever you called on, you can flourish. And so I'm really glad that I kind of feel like Chat in the Garden kind of launched Ella Grace Consulting to the world, because after she was on the show last week, I saw a lot of things on other social medias, and then she announced the positions that she had, and that was fantastic. And so but I did want to kind of elaborate and somewhat assist in the growth of her business by sharing the different workshop topics she has. And most of them are for coaches and student athletes. And so she has financial education and literacy, creating understanding and leveraging your personal brand, cultural competencies workshops, which I think is really important in this day and time. I mean, really. Backpack to Briefcase, a comprehensive career seminar for freshmen. So she can create the curriculum for you, or she can come and conduct it. So, and for what I understand, all of these programs that she has created at her previous institutions. And in addition to that, she also has been a consultant for the NCAA. So that's another feather in a hat. If they find that her information is somewhat, you know, up to par, and they share that, because I understand that she was one of the first to do the Backpacks to Briefcase Conference to Career Seminar, where they actually, when the students finished the program, they were able to get a whole suit or a whole, you know, or dresses, you know, however you want to put it. But I think that was fantastic. And so clearly that means partnering with some clothing line, a department store, which I think it's fantastic. So since then, I've seen whole football teams do that, and I just think we need support. And mind you, this young lady is stepping on her own, and she is under 25 years old. So I'm here to tell you this entrepreneur world is serious, and that's why you need to get your core message out there so that you can be on top. And so also I put a survey within the private Facebook group so that we can really kind of tally which one is the most needed on our college campuses this academic year. And ironically, right now the financial literacy is the top one, but I thought cultural competencies workshop would have been the highest one. And speaking of being an entrepreneur, I'm calling all athleticpreneurs. If you're an author, consultant, speaker, small business owner, and even our young lady, and I need to tell her to give me some copy for this, our young lady has made these queen and king bracelets, Amanda at Barry University. And so I want to definitely give her Amanda Knight at Barry University. She gave me one at NACTA convention this year. I tell you, it is really a nice item. And what I'm most impressed is that she has branched off into the male customers. And so when she does get a site where we can just all go purchase, I definitely will share that. But that being said, anyone who is curious, how do you make this thing rock? You need to join me October 14th and 15th in the Poconos at the LIFT Conference. One of the keynote speakers is April Franks Hunt. She's the master coach of Coach Speak and Profit. And so this is a group of folks that I've been learning from. And again, you know, we as educators, we think that, you know, we pay a tuition and we go to class. Well, today, all you need to do is pay attention to webinars and learn from that way and to be able to grow your speaking. But I want to be able to somewhat guide you, because there's a whole lot of people out there, the ones that I have been successful with using. So if this is something that you're interested in and want to be around other like-minded individuals, go to bit.ly/lift27 with Monique A.J. Smith. Again, that's bit.ly/lift2017 with Monique A.J. Smith. Our next guest is someone I met, I believe, her sophomore year in college, and I was informed that she was going to be my new men's basketball scorekeeper. And so after 1 year, then she transferred to another institution, and I didn't see her again until the day I was leaving off the yard for good after being at the institution for 7 years. And mind you, anybody who knows me, I was quite emotional. I was all teared up. I couldn't even drive off the yard. I had my student assistant drive me off the yard because I just wasn't ready to leave dear St. Paul's College. And so she came up, and she was like, "Hey, oh, I'm just so glad to see you. You know, you're the reason I went to law school and started sports law." And I was like, "Oh." Now, you never know. But, again, the Lord puts people in your path right when you need it. Here I am boo-hooing and thinking that everything that I have done has gone to poop because I got to leave. And I have a young person telling me after 1 year with me, I made a huge impact. So I dried my eyes and said, "Okay, let me go to my next adventure." So I was blown away, and it confirmed that you make impact on others when you don't even know it. That was over 25 years ago, and Merlene Aiken-Smith, assistant AD in SWA at Clayton State University, makes me proud every day. I take no credit for her success as athletic administrator. I just planted the seed. So let's meet her so you can see why I am so proud of her journey. Welcome to the garden, Merlene.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fabulous.
Can you hear
how
me?
Are you? Yes.
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Do you hear your cheers?
I'm sorry?
Do you hear your cheers?
Oh, is that right? Very cool.
Yes. So, Merlene, I'm really delighted to have you on the podcast. Let's start from your journey from college to your current position.
Oh, man.
Don't take any shortcuts either. Tell it all.
I'm not. Well, in high school, in addition to playing basketball and softball, I also was the scorekeeper for my men's basketball team. So when we were done, I would go and help them out in doing their stats. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I was introduced to being a statistician. And after that, I went to college and met you and also became the statistician for St. Paul's as well. And then I transferred out, like you said, and went to Brooklyn College and was the statistician and also did some actual interviews and some sports information media stuff, contacting the media with at Brooklyn College. And then once I graduated from Brooklyn College, I went on to law school, and the law school came about when I was a very young little child. In elementary school, I had an uncle who was the ambassador for Jamaica, and he would always come by the house, and he would talk about being an ambassador, and also he was an attorney. Mm-hmm. So, and he would always give, you know, the kids money. So I was like, ooh, money, yeah. So I want to be what he is, and I want to be an attorney. So during law school, I had the privilege of working at a large firm on Wall Street for several years, and Stricken Lavin, and I knew then that I did not want to go into practicing law. I am a huge proponent of integrating my family into my work life. Mm-hmm. And I knew working there for so many years, I just could not do that. I spent a lot of long hours at work, going at 7 at times. I would leave at 12 at night, sometimes 8. And it took up a lot of my time, and my heart was just not there anymore to actually be in a courtroom or to do litigation. So during that time, while I was in law school, I had the privilege of volunteering interning at Northeastern under Kevin Porter and also Jody Marinian, and they were fantastic. But I could not put the number of hours in to really determine whether or not compliance was going to be my next step on my career choice. So I had the opportunity after finishing law school to intern a paid internship with Michigan State. The timing was perfect. When I arrived at Michigan State back in 2000, they just won the championship for men's basketball, but they were also going through a major NCAA infraction. Sounds horrible. However, it was a great experience for someone who's green in compliance. I was able to see them build a program from scratch, meaning they had to implement a whole bunch of new educational systems, monitoring systems, just formatting different things to ensure that they met the guidelines of the NCAA in order to fulfill all their requirements. So for me, I was able to see from this is the way compliance is supposed to be. So after Michigan State, because that was just a one-year internship program, and it was an ethnic minority program that was sponsored by the conference office, the Big Ten. So that was awesome. And I know a couple of other folks that work in compliance today have gone through that program as well. So after Michigan State, I went over to the University of Washington in Seattle. Awesome experience, awesome. I took all that I have learned from Michigan State over to Washington. One of the reasons why they told me they hired me was because of my experience at Michigan State and going through the major infraction as far as the helping and seeing the implementation of the various programs. So got there, was able to assist. But one of the challenges there was I had a very, very smart football coach, Rick Neuheisel. He was extremely smart. He was an attorney, so he had the mind of an attorney, the way I thought, the way he thought. He was trying to find the different ways to gain an advantage, and that was great for me because that challenged me. So we would go back and forth, and it was a good relationship. I liked it. However, at Washington, we had a situation where we had a gambling issue and gone through that infraction, and that was an experience for me. And I totally believe when you go through some challenges in your area of profession, it makes you stronger and makes you more knowledgeable, and it also prepares you to do better or to see certain situations where a lot of people who haven't gone through that situation would not. So it made me more, I felt like I can do my job a lot better. Mm-hmm. So that was a great experience. Right after Washington, I loved it. I would probably still be there today had it been on the East Coast, because it was just a great place to work and live. Mm-hmm. I will say that the institution is right off of Lake Washington. It was just very serene, and a lot of my friends, those that know me, I am into green and into water, and mm-hmm. it just brings a lot of peace. So it was a great, great, great location. However, I had to get back to my family because it was troubling because of the three-hour difference. I was always missing my friends and my family, and also the flight. It was always a long flight to get home. And I remember I made a determination to try to move back to the East Coast when it took me almost 2 days to get back home to Seattle when I went out to Jamaica for our family vacation. And a lot of people know I am a descendant of Jamaican parents. So mm-hmm. we still have a lot of family in Jamaica that we visit on a yearly basis. So once that took two days to travel back to Seattle to get home, I realized I have to try to get closer. So I took an opportunity to work at Kansas. Mm-hmm. And that was another experience for me. They had some systems to correct. And because of my experience, I will say I have to give it to Michigan State. Because of the foundation they created in me, I was able to go in and help identify and correct. And that was a unique situation for me because I actually reported to general counsel for the university, mm-hmm. but I was housed in the athletic department. So it takes a unique person to play both sides. You work for both, and you want to see both. Department succeed, general counsel's office, as well as the athletic department. Everyone welcomed me. It wasn't mm-hmm. that I was separate from everyone. So that was the answer. And I think today a lot of D1 structures are that the compliance office report to someone outside of athletics. So during that time, we were a little ahead of the game just because of the various matters that were going on, compliance matters that were going on at Kansas. Great experience. However, one of the best things that happened in my life while I was at Kansas was I got pregnant, mm-hmm. and I had a son who today is 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And I knew I needed to slow down a little bit, and I had an opportunity to work at Winston-Salem State, where Percy Caldwell, great experience. And I was also able to work with Tanya Walker, mm-hmm. great lady who is now the AD at Winston-Salem State. It was perfect. I was able to come in. And during this time, they were transitioning from the CIAA to the MEAC. So they brought me in to help them transition from a D2 institution to a D1. So that was an experience for me. It was challenging because the coaches were in the mindset of D2, and the regulations are very different from D2 to D1. But I knew we can get there. We just had to get the buy-in and get the support. The administration was on board. And that was a great experience for me. And then I went to, there was some administrative changes in the university and also in the athletic department where I decided to leave Winston-Salem State and then go to North Carolina A&T. When I went to A&T, that was a short-lived experience. Things were a little chaotic there, where there was an unfortunate incident with a tryout track student athlete, which resulted in his death. And there was a lot of administration changes there. I was only there for a short period of time. But after I left there, I had an opportunity to go to Georgia Tech, and I was there with Jerome Rogers, who is currently at Northern Illinois now as an athletic administrator. And at Georgia Tech, I was director of compliance. Great experience, was able to bounce back. Everything was great. And then I had the opportunity to go to Clayton State. Mm-hmm. Went to Clayton State, and that's where I am currently. I work with Tim Duncan, great, great boss. He believes in work-life balance. He is just a phenomenal leader for not only the administrators, but for our student athletes. And he's something special for our athletic programs.
Well,
I hope I covered everything.
You did. And I'm so glad you took the time out to do that, because that was really important for folks to see the different experiences that have made you where you are today. And interesting enough, I'm looking at all these institutions have been Division One,
yep.
And now you're homed at Division Two.
Yes.
And being a Division Two person for many years, I would say the balance, is that one of the reasons why you are enjoying the Clayton State experience with the phenomenal athletic director, Tim Duncan?
It's the balance. And also, a lot of individuals will know that when you're in D1, especially at a high major, you're pigeonholed into compliance only.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whereas with Division II, you're able to stick your hand into a lot of different pots.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do I work on compliance, I work with I'm a part of the student services programs. I put on leadership programs for our mm-hmm. student athletes on a monthly basis during the academic year. I'm very involved in their academics. I'm helping them in different community service. I'm doing a lot of different things with them. I'm sometimes serving as their counselor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just sometimes on game day I'll chip in and help out with game day operations.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many different things on a D2 level you can do with putting your hands in and getting that exposure than just being pigeonholed into the compliance area.
And that's very interesting you say that, because that's one of the things I try to tell folks all the time. If you're a Division II, you can still market yourself a Division I because you've had so many different experiences.
Yep.
And the one thing that comes to you so naturally, that should be the place that you try to promote yourself on Division I level.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
You remind me of the Energizer Bunny. I mean, for real, for real.
I know. That's funny you say that, because my family says that to me all the time. When are you going to sit still? You need to stay still. Where are you?
Right. Well,
Huh?
I don't even try to reach you. I just ask our mutual friends. Okay, where is she now? Okay, cool. So
yeah.
You keep going no matter,
it.
Huh?
I really enjoy it. I really, really, really do, because I always tell my student athletes, and this is the reason why I enjoy Clayton State, because I get to put my hands on a lot of our student athletes. And I always tell them, while you're young, move around, get
mm-hmm.
to know the world. Get to know all different facets of this wonderful country, you know, because the people on the East Coast are so different than the people on the West Coast and different from the even Midwest.
Midwest.
So just understanding the different personalities, you'll be able to really cope and how to deal with and work through some adversities or just working with people. I think that's really, really critical. When you're working in student services and athletics, because you do have to stretch across on the other side of academia and be able to explain and get the buy-in to, hey, this
mm-hmm.
is what we need to do for our student athletes. And so just meeting those different people and being able to understand and being patient, you'll get the outcome. You'll get the outcome you want.
Well, I was saying about the energy of it, but Bunny, you keep going no matter what the circumstances. So we know many who are currently going through a transition. As one who's landed on their feet several times, what advice do you have for them to also land on their feet where they can continue to flourish?
I think once, if this is your passion, you're going to try hard. You're going to keep going. You're going to get a lot of doors slammed in your face. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a lot of opportunities where you're not even able to explain, but you got to still keep going. You got to pray up. Mm-hmm. And you have to just keep going. You got to stay at it. Stay focused. Keep your network going.
Mm-hmm.
Keep talking to different individuals. Someone's going to give you an opportunity. Someone's going to believe in you and give you an opportunity. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. And sometimes you get down. But if this is a profession, I think this is with anything you do. If that is your passion, then it's going to work. It's going to work. And if you know in your heart of all hearts that you have done everything you were supposed to do to make you the best compliance or the best student services or advisor you are, the door is going to open up. I just truly believe that. And I think that's what helped me, because I just kept believing that, hey, I'm good at what I do.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some unfortunate situations that come about, but I am good at what I do, and you have to believe it, and you have to keep going. But you also got to recognize if you have any faults, you know, you have to make those corrections. But if your passion is to stay in the field that you're in, you got to keep going. You got to keep going for it.
Well, you mentioned Tanya Walker, who is now athletic director at Winston-Salem State University. She has two questions. All your previous jobs have been football. Talk about what it's like to serving a program without football.
I service the student athletes. I don't just service particular sports. Now, do I like football? Yes. It's so exciting. It just brings a different dynamic to an athletic department. It does. Mm-hmm. And I miss the game. I do miss the game. But I service the kids, and that's what's important to me, because there were institutions where if I didn't have football, I may have had soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So that took the place. So I get to enjoy soccer. Mm-hmm. There were institutions where I had rowing, and that's a different dynamic of kids. So I get to enjoy rowing. So it's not just for me. I enjoy the students. Now, I do like the game after football, and I do miss that, but I do enjoy my students, and that's what brings me to work and make me work as hard as I do. So,
well, what was your biggest adjustments transitioning from a Division I powerhouse, Kansas, to Winston-Salem State University?
The biggest was managing your expectations. And I remember when I went to Winston-Salem State and the NEAC had me on a panel, and they asked me a similar question. And I'm one of those people where I process a lot. I process what I do, how I do it, because you have to in compliance, and just realizing what your situation is. So when I transitioned from Kansas to Winston-Salem State, I knew my resources were not going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was going from a person with how many people we had in our shop at Kansas. We had about 4 people in just compliance alone to me alone at Winston-Salem State. So I had to become creative. I still needed, because I still had to – I'm always going to have the D1 mentality of a lot of things have to get done, and I need it done this certain way because I think this is how we can be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look into your resources. What do you have present on campus that can help you fulfill those different things you have in place? So I started working with financial aid even more. So instead of financial aid being done in the Office of Compliance, you reach out to those individuals on campus to help you. Certification. certification cannot be done in athletics, so you reach out to the registrar's office to help with that and use your FAR. So you become a little bit more creative when you are you're dealing with an institution with minimal resources. So I knew that was going to be a challenge for me, just getting that buy-in and going across campus and making that work. It worked.
I did it.
But it took some time. And then also one of the other challenges was the coaches. Mm-hmm. You know, they were accustomed to doing things a certain way. The legislation on recruiting is a little bit more lax with D2 than D1. So transitioning my coaches to say, hey, we are D1 institution now, you have to do a lot more paperwork. We have to do a lot more monitoring. It was a little tough because sometimes I had to be a little stern. And I remember one of the coaches came on board and he committed an infraction. I was like, hey, I got to report you. I know you knew, but this is what happened. And we have to, but at the same time, I always let them know that, hey, you know, I know we all make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
We're not perfect. We're all human. And just letting them know that I'm in support of you. I'm not doing this to hurt you. I'm doing this so that you can learn from this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on your team. So just that buy-in, just letting them know that, hey, I'm on your team, and what I'm doing and what I'm putting in place is to protect you. Because when we go through that audit or go through that review, everything is going to be in place. Everything is going to be lined up. There's not going to be any question.
Wow.
So that was critical for me in helping the institution.
Well, I have one more question before we go to break, okay?
Okay.
Jacqueline Taylor, a recent Georgia State University graduate of the master's program, she would like to know, would you provide time to allow students to shadow you for a month or two?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's so.
We, absolutely. We do that. And what I've done, we have a graduate assistant in compliance right now at Clayton State.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to put some things on his plate so that he can take it to his next institution when he becomes that compliance officer. One of that, one of the responsibilities is actually, because I've helped him kind of see how I work so he can be kind of extension of me, that some folks can shadow him so to see what he does on a day-to-day basis. So we do, when folks reach out, they can shadow him or I, and even Tim Duncan has allowed folks to shadow him as well. So we're open. We're an organization, higher ed organization, where we invite folks to come on iCampus and see what we're doing, because I think we're doing some great things there. So we're always about folks just picking our brains.
That's great. So we're going to take a short break here on Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith here on Survival Radio Network. When we return, we'll continue chatting with Merlene.
She is a five-time All-American that qualified for the 2016 U.S. Olympic Trials. She is the only athlete in TSU history to win OVC Indoor Track Athlete of the Year and Field Athlete of the Year. She helped the Tiger Bells to 3 OVC championships and tallied 26 individual gold medals in her career. An excellent student and community leader, she is one of TSU's most decorated athletes, NCAA Woman of the Year nominee, Amber Hughes.
I am Tamika Smith-Jones, the author of A Ball in a Dream, an autobiography memoir. Get your copy at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or anywhere books are sold. If you are contemplating making your next bold move, read My Journey. If you would like me to share this journey in person, feel free to reach out to me at tjsports23@gmail.com. As a baller, you got to have a game plan, and my book gives you a game plan that worked for my life. In close, when things don't look like they're going well, remember Romans 8:28, all things are working for your good. Keep working.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith. Welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Simcus Looms here on Survival Radio Network. Well, Marlene, I got several questions I got to try to get in here before this show is over, okay? All right. So Cecily Toafoya, formerly of the MEAC office, who starts today as a strategic director of sports and entertainment at the American Cancer Society on the West Coast, has this question. What are some key points of advice that you can give a rising female administrator on how to maintain their seat at the table?
I think most importantly, working hard, being committed, and being a detail-oriented individual. Think about the goal. Think about the goal you're trying to achieve and get there. Sometimes we get caught up in the little things that impact us, the adversity, distractions, or little hills we encounter when trying to achieve our goal. But if you stay focused on a goal, definitely, I think that's really, really important. And Tim will tell you, I'm just one of those solution people in getting the end result. And then also, become real knowledgeable of your craft, of what you're doing, your position. Always stay focused. Pull out all the necessary readings you need to read upon in order to become an expert in your area. Once you people respect that you're knowledgeable of your area, you'll always be at the table. You'll always be at the table. And also do well at your craft. And I tell that to folks. I tell it to my intern all the time and different folks. Work hard. Work hard. There aren't too much room for mistakes. There aren't too much room for mistakes. Once people see that you're committed and you're working hard, they would definitely rely on you.
No, when you said a goal, make sure your goal is aligned to the institutional's goal.
Absolutely. 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 So my goal is always to keep us out of trouble. We never want Clayton State on the front plate, page of anything. And I always say that, go ahead.
That's it. Absolutely.
So when I say that, that includes my president, my AD, my coaches. Mm-hmm. They all fall under that umbrella. So keep the institution out the papers. Make sure we develop our student-athletes into leaders. Mm-hmm. All those things are on my checklist to make sure I get done. So that's how I get to stay at the table.
I hear you. Well, here's another question. Carol Ann Walker of LSU, she says, how did it feel to be a graduate of the 2005-06 inaugural class of the NCAA
yes.
Leadership Institute, Ethnic Minority Females, and what did you learn, and how did it assist you in your career?
How does it feel? It feels great that we were that class. I love those young ladies. We stay in touch.
Mm-hmm.
We stay in touch. We are very close. They are special to me. Carol Walker, Lori, there's so many of them. We still talk, and we still piggyback off each other if there's issues, if there's mm-hmm. concerns, and we know someone who specializes in that particular area, we reach out to them. Christine, I used her when I had to do a panel at MOA. So mm-hmm. we still reach out to each other and use each other to help us in achieving our goals, what we're trying to do, and also in turn that helps in promoting them. So we're mm-hmm. constantly using each other. It was a great experience. It does create a closeness, a sisterhood, because mm-hmm. I think we were the last female class, I believe. And I learned a lot from the experience. And it was good to meet a lot of different women from different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. In that class, we had folks from HBCUs. At that time, I was at Kansas. We had folks from Division II, III. It was just a very diverse class. And also different ethnic groups within, you know, we had Hispanics, we had Blacks, we had all types of folks. And it was just really, really awesome. And I would recommend that any athletic administrator go through that process. It was just a great experience.
Well, I know you're a new mom and you have a son and a husband. So what do you say to the woman who feels they must get out of this business in order to have a family?
Well, what I did, I can only speak from my experience. I was very strategic
mm-hmm.
where I wanted to make sure my career was solid
mm-hmm.
Before I started a family. And that was just for me. That's what I thought I needed to do. I was able to travel freely. I was able mm-hmm. to move where I needed to move without having a child or a husband that had I have to consider in order to make a decision to move.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I thought I had to establish myself first and then start on a family. 'Cause it's not easy. But we are fortunate enough to work in an industry where we can include our families. And that was one of my original goals in life, where I said, I have to, if I'm going to put all this time in work, I need to be a part of an industry that welcomes a family,
mm-hmm.
and athletics does. And so I have to take my kids to the games. I have to bring them to work sometime where I have to work extended hours or even on the weekends, because that's what we do. And it's welcomed, and it's welcomed.
Mm-hmm.
But for me personally, at the very onset, I wanted to establish myself first before I got married and had a kid.
Well, Linda Bell, your ace, veteran athletic administrator, she says, where do you see yourself in 3 years?
Wow, hopefully I see myself still at Queen State. I want to grow that program where we add more staff.
Mm-hmm.
We can simplify some machines that are in place. Doing some more sport administration
mm-hmm.
or even area administration. I really enjoy it. And also taking on maybe some responsibilities on campus. I do want to teach at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always believe that, yeah, if I teach, that'll help me when I retire at some point, and I could still be engaged in students' lives
mm-hmm.
by being a professor. That's just a passion of mine. So that's where I see myself in 3 years, is streamlining some things in our department and assisting Tim with those programs. And then also a special goal of mine is to teach at teach a course.
Well, I think those are very, very great goals, and I'm enjoying them. I'm teaching three courses at Hampton. Gender
awesome.
Race. Yeah, I'm enjoying gender race and collegiate sports, collegiate athletic administration, and sports marketing. So, yeah, it's a joy because you're kind of shaping the minds of those who want to be in the business versus they're already working and you already got their mind made up. So,
right.
And you know,
fresh.
I love it. Come again?
And they're fresh. They're new. They're green.
Yes, yes.
And you get to make an impact.
Yeah. And you know I like planting seeds, so.
Very good. Very good. So that's my goal. My goal is to, at some point, I need to get there soon, is to really stay involved in our young folks' lives because, you know, we all can make an impact. You made an impact in my life. A lot of different people made an impact in my life, and I want to continue that and pay it forward to our young folks as well. So,
well, Merle, we out of time, and I just want to say thank you so very much for taking the time out and chat with me in the garden.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Anyway. So, as always, I'd like to thank Clark Garrison and Survival Radio Network for having me join the family and the brand defining Nikki Currier for identifying this great opportunity. Join us next Wednesday at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcasts. Follow us on our private Facebook, Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.